selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. You know, okay, it's actually just so funny because what I love about Shopify is no matter how huge and massive you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control. Yes, daddy. And take your business to the next level because we're business women. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub. That's shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase. Shopify.com/bookclub.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone, and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's martinis.
It's Studio 54.
It's
Celebrity Book Club.
Come read it while it's hot.
Celebrity Book Club.
Tell your secrets, we won't talk.
Celebrity Book Club.
No boys are allowed.
Celebrity Book Club.
Club. Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hey best friend.
Good morning, good evening, and good night, Liliana Morata.
Good morning, Switzerland.
It is so good to see you here in Midtown today.
Oh, it's so good to see you in these cold months. It's so good to gather with friends in times like this.
I love, now more than ever.
Now more than ever.
I
we
love
need to come together.
Getting together with my good friends.
Good and old friends.
Yes. From the past, if you will.
Yeah, some friends who have reappeared, if you will.
So we decided that we would read such a beautiful historical exploration of a book today. And we thought, what better person to go on this journey with?
To weigh in on U.S. history.
Right, than someone from our past.
Right, our history.
Yes, someone who's been there with us on so many carriage rides.
Yes, was Abraham Lincoln, I'll say his name.
Oh my God.
A president.
Yes.
But some have said maybe Mickey Blanco should be president.
Oh, shit.
Hello, everybody.
Please welcome to this stage world-renowned recording artist, free thinker, graduate student, Mickey
artist.
Blanco.
I want a dyke for president. And I want to know why. A president is always a clown, always a John, and never a hooker.
So, Mickey, you just got off a flight from Iceland.
Yeah, are you okay?
And you came straight to our studio, which I have to thank you for.
So, I was in Rome. I've been
so
spending,
international. It's crazy.
I've been spending a lot of time in Rome this year. It's close to Switzerland.
where you're in school.
Where I'm in school. I'm in grad school in Switzerland. And so doing my master's of fine arts and then perhaps doing a research master's. So I've been doing my master's. And yeah, I was in Rome doing a DJ set. And then I'm home for the holidays. I also like to come to New York specifically in December because this is a time to see old friends, but it's an excellent time to be seen.
Yes, it's event season.
It's event season. I mean, this...
It's big coat season.
Yeah, well, this, layering, big coat. Like I just saw you in the basement of Nordstrom's, and that's a place to be seen at the burger bar.
before the pod, I had to have a call with one of my producers. And Lily found me, yes, in the basement of a Nordstrom close by.
Did you ever think when we were just freshmen at
SAIC in Chicago, and Lily and I were sleeping in the same bed Did you ever think we would all have our own producers one day?
And be like, oh, sorry, I can't talk. I'm on with my producer. I would be like, we have to get going to meet my producer.
Well, it's like two dueling Bette Midlers.
Like, we're running to each other in New York, and we're both like, well, looks like you've done well for yourself.
Honey!
And we're all singing at the baths at different times.
Stephen and I actually had this summer. Stephen came to visit me when I was living in Naples, and we had a few bath experiences. Well, more, I'll admit this.
Roses and thorns of you and Stephen going to the baths.
Well, it was kind of more me like engaging in certain sexual activities and then the next day having like huge bowls of pasta and then having to like run to urinals. Anyway.
Urinals?
Behind urinal.
Stalls. Oh, I remember.
We're not going to fish shame on this show. We're not going to fish shame. Anywho.
No, on this pod, we believe in science and we don't fist shame.
No, certainly not. And you know who else didn't fist shame?
Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
No. Bisexual President Abraham Lincoln.
So the truth is out. The cat is out of the bag. We read the speeches and writings.
Selected speeches and writings.
Because there's a lot to sift through.
He was very prolific.
He was wordy.
Yeah, he was so wordy. For those of you who don't know, Abraham Lincoln was our 16th president of the United States of America from 1860 to 1865 when he was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth.
He's super famous for the Gettysburg Address.
Well, you know what I did not know? I didn't know that he was only a one-term president. And
well,
he
did win his second term.
Well, he did, but I also did not know that he was only president during the Civil War. I didn't know that before. I knew that's what he was famous for, but I thought there was like more other stuff. But no, like the Civil War, like was
there
his
was like
thing.
Some
no,
non-Civil
kind of
War
his
stuff.
Thing.
Yeah, it was absolutely his thing. Well, it was interesting. The documentary that you suggested we watch, which I adored,
that
was
a great
primer.
Look, if you're looking for a good historical documentary,
head over to YouTube.com.
Head over to MickeyBlanco@info.com. Because you'll have some great links. Like I turned up and I was cackling.
No, this documentary was hilarious.
Mom dying of infected milk?
No, the infected milk was just so 1800s and everyone has TB. And like three out of his four sons died of, one was tuberc, one was like something else.
It's like every disease is like plethora, nucomoma, tuberculosis, well, gout.
But I also felt like the mother dying of infected milk was very goop. And very like anti-vax.
Yes.
And like
anti-vax hippie.
Anti-vax hippie.
And it was like, yeah, it's like, why weren't you? I mean, I don't know if pasteurization had been invented yet, but it's like, I don't know, boil the milk, bitch. Put it on the pot, you know? She was being so like, no, this milk
straight
is
from
so
the cow.
Natural.
Well, I also feel like there was something about Abe Lincoln's childhood that was very, that movie Precious, where it was like, no, where it was.
Well, the dad was abusive.
Yeah.
It was insanely
abusive.
The dad abusive.
Beat him, yeah.
Seven people in a
cabin. Do you think
the
dad was making Abe go down on him?
No, not that dark. I'm just saying that maybe,
well, you said
that
Precious.
Maybe like, she drank the milk to get an out, you know?
Oh.
Let me give myself dysentery, not like pedophilia.
Yeah.
I guess when you say Precious, the scene I think of is when Monique is like, come up here, Precious.
Well,
she's eating like chicken feet and then she's making Precious go down on her.
But he did get, but they do say, the scholars say that he was... The scholars say that Abe was...
I love it. Now you're in grad school, so it's the scholars.
No, but the scholars do say that Abe was repeatedly beaten. They said that he was smacked around. It is giving very, like, a fellow farmer coming by and being like, I need to talk about the abuse I'm hearing in your home.
Yes. And then they're, like, shutting the door, being like, everything is fine in this home.
And then, of course, the mom's just drinking the infected milk to call it a day. And the dad's continuing to beat him. So the documentary really was pushing this concept that the father was very anti-intellectual. And it was his kind of being this absolute rube that kind of turned Lincoln into being like Miss Book. And
which
reading
is kind
so
of
much and wanting to be like a lawyer.
Classic to be like nerdy son of like... You know, this gruff, manly dad. The dad, also learned, worked part-time at a distillery.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm obsessed with part-time at a distillery.
So, which goes...
Maybe there just wasn't that much distilling to do.
they lived on Knob Creek.
But
the Knob Creek.
This lineage is very Williamsburg. And so it's just like that, like,
well, current Williamsburg, Brooklyn, not Virginia.
One thing that's interesting. So like throughout his life, he always like was like, I know I'm not a beautiful man, and if I had two faces, why would I have chosen this for the one I show to the world? Therefore, I am but an honest fellow. And just being like, I'm busted. But it's like, actually, his look is just so, like, every Indian girl would be so soaking wet for him today. Like, he's just, like, tall, big ears, like, kind of gaunt.
Adam Driver. Would you fuck?
No, I would say...
Oh, for sure.
No, I would say Abe is entirely Adam Driver. Also, I would say that he was one of the first noddles. Because they said...
Yes, he's such a noddle.
In that doc, they said, so he was... He was, what, 6'4", so by that standard, since everyone used to be a little person, by that standard, he was like 6'8".
No, you know? He was so tall. Wait. No, because, I mean, you know, ceilings were lower back then.
Oh. Wait, that's crazy.
Girl, y'all ever been to Salem? Those doors are tiny.
They are.
And the furniture's little.
No, I guess there are so many tiny ass chairs in like short little houses. Like Paul Revere's house, which I've been inside, not to brag. It's like,
I feel like you got invited to his holiday party.
I'm like, oh wait, you guys didn't get the invite. It was just like on text.
But yeah, it's small.
But right, it's small. So you're saying, right, 6'4 now is basically 6'8 then.
Yeah, and I also feel like he was someone, because of the abusive father, and because, oh, this is the other thing. I think that I didn't realize how honey boo-boo he is. Like because he, and I think it's really important to note
I didn't realize that either, yes.
I think it's really important to note that there's a difference between being, like, Southern, which he was not Southern. He was, like, country. He was backwards. He was honky-tonk, and he knew that. And he knew that, and I think that's also this, like, cultivation of, because they said something.
Well, yeah, you
like,
want to become sophisticated because you're like, I'm from the boondocks, like, I'm completely unrefined. My dad is this brute who doesn't know anything about the opera.
Who's only like part time at Knob Creek Distillery. Like, my mom is dying of like spoiled milk.
And when he moves to like, not before he even gets to Springfield, when he moves to like some village of just like 100 people, like, to him, that's New York City. And he's like, oh my God, they had a schoolhouse there. There was a courthouse. Oh my God, like, I could actually talk to people and have intellectual debate. And
well, because like, Mary Todd was like fancy Southern.
Oh yeah, I mean,
she comes later.
Yeah, she comes later.
She comes later.
We'll get to her.
No, I mean, we have to get to Mary Owen first.
Yeah. So first of all, so he has this thing where he is obsessed with dating Marys.
Oh
yeah. I mean, I guess it's a common name, but also like...
It's a little bit like, okay, queen. Mary.
Okay, Mary. Okay.
So Mary Owens is like this first girl that he dates. And he's actually being so like, he's kind of being so like neurotic girl about dating her. So this letter he wrote her, this is May 7th, 1837.
So get there in your mind.
And he starts it with, friend Mary... Which
friend of Mary?
Friend of Mary? I'm like, okay, faggot. I have commenced two letters to send you before this, both of which displeased me before I got half done, and so I tore them up. The first I thought wasn't serious enough, and the second was on the other extreme. I shall send this, turn out as it may. Like, okay, calm all the way down. I'm sorry, you're so neurotic. Just being like, I wrote two letters and then I totally ripped them and they were so not good. Ugh, I'm like, this is bad. Like, this is already bad. Like, you can throw this away.
Those like, are like all of his letters. He's always like, I'm so embarrassed I'm even writing this and like, please respond tomorrow. But also, if you don't respond, that's actually totally cool.
It's kind of Taylor Swift syndrome of just being like, I'm so famous and yet I'm going to pretend to be so humble and just like, oh, I can't believe you guys are even here at my stadium show.
Well, I think the other interesting thing is that, you know, during this time period, you could barely even walk a woman to the corner. Okay, without, you know, a chaperone. And what he does with Mary Owens, I think, is okay, so he has this whole entire shtick about I'm so honest, I'm so real, I'm so honest. But actually, he spilled a lot of tea to Mary Owens.
Oh, yeah. He was gossiping to speed
honest
too. His
Abe,
best friend.
More just like spill the tea.
No, yeah. he actually gossiped so much. And I feel in a way he really used Owens.
Oh, shit. Like, just, like, as, like, an emotional dumpster.
I think so.
Wow.
Well, also it's classic because
You don't think he was actually into her. He just wanted like a chica to.
I think that she was kind of probably one of the only women in that small ass 100-person village that like paid his like freakish ass a time of the time of day. And I think there was some like I want attention.
Yeah, I think he wanted attention. It's also. Well, I think this thing that some guys do, and also skinnier guys do this more, I think, where he said he wasn't attracted to her because she was fat.
Oh, that, yeah,
a Falstaff.
He called her Falstaff, which is a Shakespearean, obese character. Yeah, he doesn't. She says. He doesn't, when they're riding horses, he never looks back on her.
Yeah, no, that part actually got me. No, that's like such toxic male behavior to be riding a horse like up Knob Creek and just not checking to see if she's even still on the horse.
Isn't the chivalrous thing, it's like,
or if the horse has collapsed under her massive weight or whatever the case may be.
You should be in the back. You should be like, clop, clop.
Should lead from the bat. Interesting. Yeah.
And then in one of his letters to his like bro that he's actually obsessed with, Joshua Speed,
who is such a porn star name,
aka Josh Speed.
Josh Speed. That's the plug, Josh Speed. No. Wait, so like you're going through your phone and it's like Josh Speed. Oh, right.
No, but he's so talking to Josh Speed, just being like, dude, like, I thought I could get into her brain because, like, she is so smart, but he just can't get over her, like, size.
I like the part when he is writing that letter to her, just being like, Springfield has so many carriages, and I don't think that you would be able to deal with it.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it's kind of too high traffic, and, like, also you're poor, and you wouldn't be able to hide your poverty.
Oh, that's
I thought it
crazy.
Was kind of me, too, because I thought he was going to say she would, like, get too nauseous on a carriage.
Oh, that's why she doesn't like it. I feel like he's just being...
Maybe that was just me projecting.
Referencing her vertigo.
You really shouldn't move to Springfield. I mean, meanwhile, we almost got hit by a carriage on 7th Avenue and 50th.
Yes. Wait, like, just now?
Yeah.
I was looking for a miniature...
Ghost of Mary Owens.
I was looking for a miniature wine.
Yeah. And the carriage came at us fast. Mary Owens in the back. And so it's
after,
like...
So after Mary Owens, after First Crush rejects him, he goes into a depression for almost 18 months.
Mm-hmm. And at that same time, his like law partner breaks up with him.
Yes, and Josh Speed gets married.
So Josh Speed getting married, he's like, I feel like he keeps performing this thing where he's just being like, I know not anything of marriage, so my advice that I could give would not be useful to you in any way. But I will say this, I fear for your sadness.
Wait, can I read this letter to Josh Speed to you guys? Because yeah. I was a little confused of like what actually he's talking about, but
yeah, sure. If you're confused about anything, bring it up in class. Will. Mean,
look, we're riffing on historical words here. So when he starts off this letter, Josh Speed has sent him a flower and the flower gets crushed and Lincoln is being so like, it's actually so beautiful, like how the flower has been crushed in paper, but then is also like so sad about the flower being crushed. So one, why is Josh Speed sending Lincoln him?
Like, because they're into nature stuff. Like they go on long walks. Like they're always being like, and then we reach like Kimpton by Fortnite.
I guess it's just like old timey stuff.
It's old timey stuff, but I do think, okay, how can I put this? Lincoln does not strike me as bi. But I think that he was so sensitive.
Yeah.
I could see Lincoln and Josh Speed getting drunk one night alone.
Not his sober, temperate ass.
Kissing, freaking out, and then of course, being just like, of course the rum had barreled forth and betwixt our Christian countenances. For in discussing the figment of our prospective wives, I had mistaken the lace on Josh's collar for that of a dallying miss.
Stop.
And his whiskers a fur-trimmed shawl.
No, stop.
Okay, wait.
Wait, sorry.
Obsessed with your fan fiction.
You need to continue. You need to do a full book fan fiction. Josh Speed.
It's Speed Abe Slash, as we call in the fan fiction community.
I told you, just for some quick backstory, I was supposed to appear on this podcast 2.5 years ago when Stephen and Lily covered Tan France. I completely flunked out. And so this is. Abe,
I think
is
I remember
redeeming
you,
myself.
No, you are doing
supposedly
extra
had
for
a
this episode.
Yeah, you had a problem with your laptop supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's so much better that you're here now for Abe and the fact that, like...
I got into this. I'm really into this.
No, I think you're so right that it's, like, too much rum. Okay, it's, like, guys on a corporate retreat in Denver, outer Denver. They're hiking. Like, they're breaking down so many walls, and it's also very goop, where they're just like, what's your worst fear, man? And then, like, the Knob Creek comes out, and Abe is like, my dad actually worked for Knob Creek, so I'm kind of, like, triggered. Can we have rum? And they have rum. And then, like, there is a kiss, and they're just like,
and it could
don't
also
know
be this
to
thing
do
where
with
it's
their
like,
emotions.
That was the one time that Abe ever drank liquor ever in his life, and he got, like, so wasted and kissed his friend and felt so weird about it. And then that's why he was such a, like,
okay,
proponent
but his
of the
thing,
temperance movement.
No, but his thing on alcohol was he was one of the first people, I think, to treat alcohol as a disease and not as a sin.
Oh, are you guys serious?
That's what I read.
Okay, so he's like, so the Freud of, like, inventing alcoholism.
He's being like, because I feel like he is so Honey Boo Boo and from the South, and he's being like, I know what, like, you know, how what whiskey does to a man. And it's not just like, oh, God, you're sinning. It's kind of just like, no, you're like a poor whiskey drinker.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool and so modern of him.
Kind of giving Deacon from Nashville.
Okay, but then.
Yeah, like sober, but former alcoholic.
So, but back to sexuality, there is a letter that he writes, and I forget if it's to Owens or Todd, but he says, while at our late meeting, we had but few expressions of thoughts. Being like, we didn't even say anything because we were like fucking so much.
I think in olden times, what were you going to say? Well, I was going to say olden times. I think a lot of dates were just silent walks.
No, but he said it in this way. That's just like, why would he say that though? Like, I know that we literally said not a word to each other at our last meeting. I feel like he's saying that because he's referencing their like naughty.
I think it's Todd now because.
Wait,
okay.
Well, you saw the documentary how they said.
Well, yeah.
She took his virginity and he had to get married the next day.
Oh, Rex, he was like, damn, like, I just came the first time.
So just for some backstory, you know, so Mary Todd came from this very exalted, very aristocratic family. Both of her sisters had been previously married, had these huge gala-like weddings. Mm. And then, I mean, they don't know if she ensnared Lincoln that quickly, but they got married in one day. No big reception, no big church wedding. So what does that say?
And he every other up. Sister had a big-ass wedding that the whole Springfield Society was up in.
Right.
And they were all members of the Whig Party. Me on Wikipedia being like, wait, what was Whig? Googling Whig.
Well, I didn't know that Abraham Lincoln was the first Republican.
Well, not the very first.
One of the very first.
He joined the party.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, for a long time, you know, in this country.
Republicans were liberal.
Republicans were the because they were the party that freed the slaves. And so the South hated the Republicans. And so this thing called the Dixiecrats. And so, like, forever, all the first half of the 20th century, the South always voted Democrat. And, like, there was a reliable Democratic vote because they were just, like, had so much animosity towards the Republicans.
How times change.
How they
and then
do.
Also, Mary Todd grew up with slaves, but and, like, all of her family did, but then she stood by her man. And I feel like all of her, like, slave-owning sisters were just kind of like, what are you doing with that ugly, like,
that,
abolitionist?
That ugly abolitionist with the large ears. Mary. But he was actually... He started being very anti-slavery early on in his career, and he was very like, okay, I'm vibing against this and an abolition. But what I thought was interesting, what the documentary kind of showed, is that it was like he was more anti in it in a way that was just like, I'm anti-South, I'm anti-agricultural economy, and like, I'm also maybe low-key afraid of black people coming up to the North.
Okay, so he was like, this is like what I truly feel. I'm a black person, by the way. and so this is, and so, for those of you who don't know.
It's a
podcast.
Yeah. Audio medium.
I feel this. I think that in his soul, he knew, okay, that slavery was wrong. You know, Lincoln was a legislator at 23, part-time.
And a part-time grocer.
And a part-time grocer.
He's like, okay, I opened up like a little provisionary and then I'm also running for council.
But I think, and it was even then when he was a legislator at 23 that he first, I think, brought up one of these like abolitionist ideals, and then it was immediately poo-pooed. And then I think that he realized he had to be like more covert.
Yeah.
But he did not believe that the blacks, he did not believe that African-Americans were equal. That's true.
No, and I think that as the war, like later in the war, and then he like freed the slaves, and then like freed blacks in the North, like started joining the army. He was kind of like, okay, now like I actually think black people should vote, and so, like I'm more into them now.
So get this, Chicas, he wanted to send us to Panama.
No, isn't that insane?
He
wanted to colonize Panama.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh no, this is like getting messy here. What if we all colonize Panama?
Well, he was just being like, I actually don't think white people and black people should be in the same country. And honestly, Panama is fine, girl.
Well, I mean, when you think about how history could have changed like in a heartbeat, it's just like, actually kind of sounds bad. just like all of black America just like from Panama.
Everyone goes down to Panama.
Celebrity Book Club.
It was that summer. That summer, I started using Cozy Earth. Cozy Earth makes elevated loungewear and amazing, luxurious, soft bedding that surpasses even the finest hotel sheets for a restful night's sleep on your travels or at home. I love Cozy Earth so much that I got it as a present for my spouse. And the things that happened on that bed, you wouldn't believe it. I got their joggers and oh my God, it almost feels like you're nude, better than nude. It feels like you're swimming in the most luxurious ocean. So stay cool and comfy during long flights with Cozy Earth's temperature regulating bamboo joggers and pullover crew, adding a touch of style to your travel ensemble. Discover your next destination for ultimate comfort at Cozy Earth. Visit CozyEarth.com and use our code CBC at checkout to get 35% off. And let them know we sent you after checkout, okay?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented coffins or outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Okay, it's actually just so funny because what I love about Shopify is no matter how huge and massive you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control. Yes, daddy. And take your business to the next level because we're business women. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. I'm talking Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklyn, and all your favorite DTC brands. Do you want to be a Brooklyn in business, or do you want to be the sad girl selling candles on the subway? Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub. That's shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase. If you do it uppercase, it won't work. Just like your sales if you don't use Shopify. Shopify.com/bookclub.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Celebrity Book Club.
But, okay, I think now I feel like, okay, I'm not trying to, like, you know, hijack the pod.
Okay.
Can we get into fucking Mary Todd Lincoln?
Yeah, let's get into Mary Todd.
So Mary Todd is the original BPD pussy that no man can resist.
She is headache girl, okay?
The fact that she always has
Give
headaches.
Me your credit card. I'm not going to dinner. I have a headache, but I'm coming to the party. Can you believe, again, learning so much today, that she was not going to go to the play? where he got shot.
I believe it.
And, yeah. he was like, you have to go because there's going to be press.
Well, way back before they even entered the White House, she used to beat him. He is an abused husband. It wasn't Josh Speed. It was his partner lawyer. Tell,
okay, yeah. So this letter, April 16th, 1848, okay? I went yesterday to hunt the little plaid stockings as you wished, but found that McKnight has quit business, and Alan had not a single pair of the description you gave, and only one plaid pair of any sort that I thought would fit Eddie's dear little feet. So it's like, she's already giving him, like, the most specific instructions about stockings, and you can tell the terror in this letter that he's not going to find the right stockings.
I will say, classic couples... kind of nice, intellectual husband who, like, is a little bit befuddled, and then, like, bossy femme.
I mean, coming from the household that he did his background, I feel like she could read him like a book, you know, from miles away. She knew that she could get over on him. He was so passive. I mean,
he was so intimidated by her, like, worldliness, where he perceived to be her worldliness.
Her big Kentucky gala life.
Yeah.
And she was smart. You know,
she was fluent in French.
Ah, that's right. Yeah.
And like, she was like, you know, I think she was kind of like a hilarious, depressed rich girl when she was like on fire.
Like, you think she was so Princess Margaret and was like being like a bitch and drunk.
Yeah. And being a bitch drunk, and then would have like periods of.
And then so in this same letter, like after the whole stockings debacle. First it goes, suppose you do not prefix the on, as in like honorable, to the address on your letters to me anymore. I like the letters very much, but I would rather they not have that upon them. So he's being so humble.
Yeah.
And like constantly just being like, no, I'm not, like, I'm just Abe. Like, just call me Abe.
Wait,
but you're saying she was beating him before they were married. In like courtship.
The law partner, I believe, says that, you know, that he had heard him getting like, you know, hit with the sweet potato every once in a while. Like,
a nice, like, medium hard yam. Doesn't leave a mark. Ibram. Married hot nose.
Ibram.
Then he goes, are you entirely free from headache? That is good. Good, considering it is the first spring you have been free from it since we were acquainted. Every spring, the headaches come.
Mm.
Do you think she was a lesbian?
I think she...
No.
I think she definitely had a chemical imbalance.
Okay,
chemical
imbalance. Not a lesbian, like, but a chemical imbalance. Difference.
Her IG profile would say neurodivergent.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. She'd be milking that, honey.
It would be like... Kentucky, born and bred, # wife, mother, DC, neurodivergent.
Patriot.
Wife of Abe, mother of Emmett, mother of Rob.
Mother of Tad, RIP.
The little gravestones next to, or just crosses next to all the sons who died of TB.
But wait a minute. No. But Mary was also a mob wife, you guys.
Okay, so here's the thing. So she was spending wildly when they were in the White House.
Like, big aunt.
Victoria Gotti Lincoln.
And she's, like, buying so many crystal chandeliers. And then in order to finance that, like, I guess the Congress is, like, giving her money. And going over to, like, the Capitol.
Congress,
and like,
I think, like, straight up passed a bill that was like, we have, like, to give Mary Todd, like, more
money. Because
she's
been going ham at, like, Zarin Fabrics, like, getting, like, so many new curtains for the Blue Room.
Well, think about it. Okay, so Abe is just, like, fixated on winning this war. Remember, in the beginning, he's not winning. It's kind of like, he's not... I think before the war, he and Mary had, while abusive, a very kind of, like... I mean, they were in love. I mean, I feel like they were going on so many long walks and spending so much time together. And remember,
he's ravaging her full pussy with his lanky cock. Yeah. Yes.
No, it said in some way, he was like, their relationship was one of sex, politics, and parenthood.
I didn't think about him being hung.
I mean, I think it's like him. I think it's long.
Mm.
I don't think it's the thickest cock in Illinois. Mm.
That nose.
6 inches the ears, and eight.
He had big hands and big ears, honey.
What's,
appendages.
What's 6 inches in 1850 compared to now? If you're saying 6'4 is 6'8.
Well, I do actually think that dicks used to be bigger.
Because of chemicals.
Yeah. So because they're smaller now.
Mm.
So actually, it was.
Well, it's smaller by what country?
All right, Miss Globalese. The Clinton Initiative over here.
All of a sudden, I just get a Southern accent.
Yeah.
Smaller how?
Smaller how? Are we talking the metric system?
Centimeters, darling.
Well, he also, okay, she was very good. Now, but this is so Kris Jenner of her. She was very good at protecting him. She was very good at protecting him. You know, they called her an influence peddler. So people would actually, this is also so Kris Jenner, she would take bribes. She would line her pockets.
And,
okay.
And what she was offering was like, she would be like, oh, you want me to whisper in Abe's ear
right.
that we should promote this general or whatever on the eastern flank or something.
No, very much that.
Oh,
very
so
much
full
that.
Kris Jenner vibes. No, she was running the show.
No, she was running the show, and
she wasn't running the show. I do wonder how much her influence actually worked. I think, like, she. Maybe some of those people wanted their money back. You know what I mean? Because they were like,
"That's
well,
true." Not running the show. She's like, totally. I can tell Abe, and then Abe is like, "So what's up tonight? Should we like have dinner?" And she's like, "I have a headache." And she's like, not mentioning anything.
Yeah.
She's like going straight to bed.
Well, yeah.
In the White House, they had a nickname for her. They called her Her Satanic Majesty.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But then also, you know what?
Actually, yeah.
But Mary Todd was so ahead of her time.
Fair time, thank you.
You know, she was so ahead of their time. And it's like, well, was she a monster or did she just know what the fuck she wanted?
Terrified of a powerful woman.
Am I a bitch or do I just have opinions?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
I'm a sinner and I'm a saint.
I will not be afraid.
I would do Mary Todd like putting one of those like pillows that says, am I a bitch or do I just have an opinion? Opinion, like in the spare bedroom at the White House. She's like, I think it looks lovely.
Sorry, and it's like, oh, or one of those pills that looks like a big pill. Sorry, I haven't taken don't be a bitch
that,
pill
that
today.
Jonathan Adler throw pillow that looks like a pillow. Or a pill. Yeah, she would be very Jonathan Adler.
She's very Jonathan Adler.
We'll get to that.
So Jonathan Adler later.
Well, we'll get to the interior designs. I wanted to talk about his speeches for a second because he's super famous for them.
Mm.
And he had some real bangers. He goes back and forth. Like, if you think about the Gettysburg Address, like, it's famously very succinct. 47 years ago, blah, blah, blah. And he kind of lays out the war, like, pretty succinctly. But I'm also, like, I feel like a lot of the time in his speeches, he's, like, dragging on and being so, like, as you know, when we do start the inauguration process, it is customary for president to say a few words, and this shall be one of the words that I shall say. And you're kind of like, yeah, stop with the windup, you know? Like,
well, I think this also goes back to his childhood. No one ever listened to him.
Mm.
Why else would you become president?
So he's overspeaking.
Well, so much of his whole PR thing is about being a dad. It's about being America's dad. It's about this stable,
wow,
slow, masculine, rooted, grounded energy.
And it's funny how people in the Republican Party when he was running were like depicting him as this Westerner, you know, as this man of the frontier. And like, he was obviously not, like, he was a, you know, I'm not saying he's a faggot, but he was an intellectual. He was a book boy. I mean, he was not doing physical labor. He, like, maybe chopped one tree once. It's like, he was not, like, on the front
lines.
No,
his dad was, like, always having him chop a tree. And he's like, no. He also became a legislator, and he's like, I'm not going to war.
Yeah, but they wanted, like you know,
But they were making, like, posters of him chopping some trees.
Yeah, this, like, Johnny Appleseed, Gavin Newsom, and he was just literally...
Try to make him the Johnny Appleseed Gavin Newsom.
He's kind of, I know, it's like, would he... Because it's like, now he would be so sleeves rolled up, tucked in, like, kind of gingham shirt to jeans. But it's funny about the dad thing, because, like, were any presidents before where like, they, like...
Were they giving daddy vibes?
Yeah. Like, I feel like Lincoln was the first one to be like, yeah, I'm a dad. I'm also a grieving dad. And I'm a proud dad.
I mean, and putting dad in his bio.
I mean, Thomas Jefferson was like a slutty dad.
He was like a slutty dad.
A lot of them had kids, for sure.
Everyone was a dad.
But
like, everyone was a father. Well, but were they dads?
I think you're kind of right a little bit, because, like, people were more talking about, they're just like, I'm a serious intellectual,
right,
and I have all of these credentials, and I've done X, Y, and Z, and putting a little bit less of their character into it. And since Lincoln, like, didn't really have, like, experience like as governor or anything like that. He's like, no, like, he didn't run a company or anything. He kind of only had his character to talk about.
Well, I think America at this point also in the hundreds of, I forget how long it had been since the damn Declaration of Independence.
Declaration.
But I think that America had fallen,
about 80 years.
Had fallen away from this sophisticated colonial pedigree.
Yeah.
And I think that Lincoln was very much trying to bring that back.
He does acknowledge also that the founders like basically totally punted on slavery. Like they knew that slavery was going to be an issue and they kind of just like fudged it and like wrote the Constitution so that they basically didn't have to deal with the issue.
He was calling that for being cis white.
Yeah.
Men.
And like they were being so cis and just being like, you know what? And the country may expand and maybe like somebody else will deal with that later. But like they knew it was going to be a conflict.
Let me put it like this. Them hoes forgot what the Mayflower was like.
That on a t-shirt.
they had forgotten what it was like to catch scurvy.
Yeah.
Over a half a year journey. You know, they got a little bit too comfortable in their homesteads.
Whenever I see recreations of people on boats, I'm like, the way I would have not survived that boat from Ireland to here.
Oh yeah, you wouldn't have stopped at like Newfoundland. Oof. Even you wouldn't have even made it halfway.
No.
Yeah.
Or I would have barely been getting onto Ellis Island, covered in vomit.
Yeah. I would have been like, leave me in Cuba. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm good.
I'm good.
I hate the idea. I hate extended sea travel.
Yeah.
Wait. Well, hold on. One thing that I did want to talk about just super quick, it's not off topic, but there's such a relationship between Abe and Jennifer Lopez because because both of them are just obsessed with being like, I'm real. And Abe
on the six.
The honesty
and
trope.
And Abe wears this trope out his whole entire life.
Yeah, you think it's played. You know what else I think is real about her? Like, I'll say, like, does J-Lo have the most amazing voice in the industry? No.
No.
But she knows that she doesn't, and she sings within her range.
Yes.
This is something I've always admired about her. She doesn't try to, like, go outside of her range or do stuff she can't do. Like, she does what works for her.
Also,
that's real.
She also doesn't drink, but still came out with an alcoholic beverage. People came after her and were just like, well, J-Lo, supposedly I thought you didn't drink. And she was like, okay, I don't drink that much, but this is a low ABV product.
That does taste good. And it's honestly, like, there are people who drink a lot who I think maybe drink too much, and that's why the alcohol that they make isn't good.
And Abe is so like, I'm not trying to drink a lot, but he would drink a sip of champagne at dinners so he wouldn't look like too lame.
It's so crazy. I miss this whole him like not drinking thing.
There's a letter in here that he writes like the Temperance Society that's like 30 pages long, just being like, I'm so proud of you guys for like having such a banner year of temperance.
But he sends you Ulysses S. Grant like a bottle of whiskey when the war's over.
Well,
which is so fob.
And then
he's like, I love that Grant drinks. He wins some fucking battles, unlike McClellan.
Yeah, because Grant is winning so many battles and he then like sends the other generals the same whiskey that Grant drinks.
McClellan is like being such a pussy.
He's like, okay, maybe this bottle of like bullet bourbon will make you like win a battle.
Drink 181. Jake, what is Kendall's? 181.
818.
Yeah. I wonder what battle Kendall's winning.
It's so celeb to also give like all your employees the same thing. And so he's being like, Mary, can you take out $2,000 from the bank and buy 20 bottles of 818 and send them all to the generals?
And she's like, totally, I'm totally doing that. She's immediately going to the jewelers who she's in 10K of debt to. giving him all the money. And then just being like, I totally sent the 818.
Yeah. Lincoln is sending a letter being like, dearest McLennan, I hope you received the bottle of 818.
Celebrity Book Club.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Celebrity Book Club. 4 score and 7 seconds ago.
What does she eat?
What does she wear?
How does she live? Okay, what does she eat?
What do you think, Blanco?
I feel like he is. I feel like he's not so beef. I feel like he's very gamey. I feel like it's a lot of
quail.
A lot of quail, a lot of rabbit. Yes.
Well, he's not a. I mean, he's a thin guy.
Yeah.
I think he might like a bit of fish.
Well, it's funny, you know what I read, and I don't know if I was cheating and this was on Wikipedia. It said, Mary cooked simple meals for him, but he loved oysters.
Oh, fancy. Mm.
Yeah.
Like prairie oysters? Like bull balls?
Prairie oysters. Oh, like bull balls? No, I think probably just like straight up oysters.
East Coast oysters.
Yeah.
Edging closer and closer to metrosexual.
I know. Yeah. He's like... Babe,
but that's just like straight, that he's like Ridgewood guy. Like yeah. He's just a 6'4" Ridgewood guy.
Being like, babe, let's go get some natty and oysters.
He's kind of the John Wilson of Illinois.
Yeah, John Wilson, tall landlord. I don't.
Tall.
Abe wasn't a landlord though. But I think oysters always been like a chic food, or is it like lobsters, which used to be like dirty
food? Poor man's food.
I don't know.
And then they made them fancy. And pineapples used to be a rich person's food.
I feel like there was also a lot of millet.
Yeah, everyone was fucking with millet back then.
Yeah, it was millet, oysters. But yeah, probably like...
I think he's also a little bit like very Werner Herzog, forgetting to eat?
Yes.
Like he's been like, oh, I've been transcribing this court case for 11 hours, like while I'm being like the town lawyer / the town like infected milk salesman. And I totally forgot to eat the bread. And Mary Todd's like... Okay, I guess I'll finish it.
Finishing his portion. And then they're like going to a play and like not having time for dinner.
Yeah.
And then I think at dinners, he is like probably talking so much as he does.
Yeah.
And it's like one sip of champagne, one bite of Mary's rabbit.
Yeah. At the alehouse.
Maybe half a Johnny cake in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And coffee?
Black.
You think so?
I feel like maybe he was afraid of milk after the mother's death.
Also metrosexual.
But couldn't you see him being so temperance and just being like, coffee is unfit for a man to drink, for it is too strong?
I don't of think a substance. He's that. I think he's like a fan of the temperance movement, but I don't think, I think like Rutherford B. Hayes was more of a teetotaler and he was like less.
He also strikes me as a slow person. Wait, what was his sign again? What's his astrology?
Oh, you think he's a Taurus?
Do we know?
Do we know? Someone knows. Can we get a fact check on Linky's birthday? Oh no, famously, we always thought it's February, right? Isn't he Aquarius? Lincoln's birthday is like February, President's Day.
Or Pisces. Is he Pisces?
Oh, Pisces, yeah.
No, is he Aquarius?
It's probably a Pisces.
Okay.
That would make sense if he was super slow.
Well, it would also make sense for him to not be trustworthy because I would never trust a Pisces as far as I can throw them.
It's, I really could see him also being kind of tea, like weird straight guy that drinks tea.
Mm. Yeah.
I know the war stressed him out, but I feel like he never had like a carrot ever. Like I feel like there were certain vegetables he just never ate. His color was so sallow.
Yeah, in this Hillary Clinton way where she hates drinking water.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, she refuses.
That's crazy.
Yeah, she thinks it's disgusting.
I could really see him like hardly having a sip of water.
Huh.
In a day. Yeah. Like maybe a few sips. It would be like one quill. 2 hours go by.
Okay, but I'm saying he's not into carrots in the way that Hillary's not into water, but I do think he's into water. Because, don't you picture him having such a like carafe of water next to the bed in Lincoln's bedroom?
It's never getting drunk though. Parents don't drink water.
But he's.
I see him honestly drinking more black coffee than water. That gets kind of cold.
Okay, what does he wear? Everything is custom me because he's so tall and he's the tallest person in the country at the time.
Boxers or briefs?
God. Long underwear.
Long underwear, yeah. Like loose long underwear. Yeah. Swanging in the long underwear.
Yeah, like, and Mary Todd's not like darning his clothes very often, I don't think. She's cooking the occasional simple oyster meal.
No, I think she cooked a lot of, like, normal mom-ass meals.
Well, did you guys remember, though, maybe she was in such a bad mood because they had no staff. Remember how they said that he only had, like, two guys at one point working in the White House? They're both in their early 20s.
I know. I love that he only... Well, having just the two boys was another, like, full gay kind of thing to me a little bit.
Four boys.
No. As the staff at the White House.
Yeah.
Like, his only staff was these two, like, healthy young men who could run about.
I know. I really went back and forth on bi or straight, but I think he is just straight who, like, loved his friendships with men.
Yeah.
The shoes had to be custom.
For sure. Big shoes, big hands,
okay,
big ears.
I mean, he is very, I feel like, that brand, like, Filson. He's Pendleton. Like, it was, like, good wools, long coat, skinny, raw denim.
He's Barber, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is he APC?
Yeah, he's APC. He's, like
stovepipe jeans.
Red Wing. Like,
I mean, the infamous hat is something that we should talk about.
Oh, shit.
Wait, the hat.
He literally invented hats. Obviously, every man wore a hat, but no one wore a stovepipe, an insane tall hat. And then, like, steampunks, like, completely, like, stole that from him, like, years later.
Okay, so Isabella Blow with him.
No, yeah. Like,
it's like
Vivian
performance
Westwood.
Artiste Malcolm McLaren.
And this actually that's actually very straight of him again, where it's just, like, he's almost just being, like, fully, like, art school bro wearing, like, a crazy outfit.
Yeah, to be like, and someone's like, I love your hat, and then he acts like it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Well,
and he like doesn't tell you where he got it.
Is Abe? Did Abe exist at the same time period as Henry David Thoreau?
I think Henry David Thoreau was
later.
Maybe a little later.
But they were alive at the same time.
I think they were contemporaneous because like Thoreau talks about like not liking the railroad extending through Massachusetts, and railroads were also being built in the 19th century.
I feel like Thoreau and Abe and like Poe.
Oh, for sure. They're
been homies.
Yeah, they're indie guys. I do think that Thoreau would have thought Abe was a little like annoying.
I think he would thought he was like actually
a little too
like,
honest.
Oh. Wait, t-shirt idea? Them all sitting around the card table like the dogs.
Or so Rat Pack, just like
yeah,
just like.
Or maybe it's like a little more modern. Like they're all at a cool bar with retro arcades.
Yeah, I think Thoreau was actually like, would have gone to school with Abe, and like Abe is the one who kind of became like, he was like, I'm still woke, man, but like I do work for this big law firm. And Thoreau is a little bit like, I'm so indie and off.
Because like Thoreau also wants to like be more of an edge lord and just kind of like write small essays for small presses and be so semiotext. And like Abe is a little bit more like, oh, I'm ambitious, I want to like become a leader. And like,
and Poe is just like an art handler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Freelance art handler. And they're like, Poe gets the hottest chicks.
But also ends up having whiskey dick every night, and like low key they don't know that Abe
coke
giving,
dick
yeah and like coke Abe's dick. Giving Todd the raw drain of her life every night.
Do you think they were rimming?
No.
When did rimming get invented?
I think rimming was happening in Greece and Rome. It stopped.
And then it stopped for like 2,000 years and it started again in the 80s?
I rimmed a guy this year in Norway who was so just like, oh, like, Norwegian guys don't do this.
Oh, it hasn't gotten up there yet.
I was just like, good God.
Okay,
like,
so
maybe
we're still in the Renaissance. It's like word is traveling slowly.
Well, and especially America, as we know, like was the most puritanical.
Yeah.
So...
okay, how does he live? Obviously, we know she's bejeweling the fuck out of that house.
Wait, this is what I wanted to ask you, Mickey.
Yes.
How would you redecorate the White House?
Ooh.
In this era.
Oh, this is such a good question.
In this era?
Yeah.
I mean,
the year is 2023. First lady.
In this era?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys know I'm going to be just like... so cheesy and so just like
Louis the 14th.
No, just so like Parisian. You know me so well.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do like Parisian, modern, a little shabby chic.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I
or so Karl Lagerfeld, but not that insane.
I like classic. I mean,
I love
Diana Vreeland.
But
I like
but you Diana also Vreeland. But it's like, a mix of minimalism too, though. I
yeah,
feel.
I do. How can I put this? I don't like every room to be, you know, overwrought
no, have
with
like
picture
eight,
frames.
Right. And like 18,000 like Louis Couture's like chaises. But like, I feel like in the Oval, for like, I kind of already love what you're doing in the Oval. Because like what we would do is like have the fabulous desk, right? And actually maybe get a new desk, which would be like sacrilege.
Whoa.
But let's go off. Let's do it. Get an insanely ornate desk, but then have like leaning art, like leaning frame
I mean,
of like a 70s print.
And
then books like piled.
To give a really cheesy example, how the houses are decorated in Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
I think that's,
I love that.
I mean, I love a big comfortable couch, but
with
then
like a sheet over the couch,
but then a very formal coffee table, a very
yes.
formal side table,
yeah.
very formal light, but then really comfortable furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cause it's like, right. Would you, then it's like, there would be like the old school China. Like, I feel like I'd want to mix and match where it's like, I do want to be eating off like an old ass plate that Taft ate off.
But right. You
want
to maintain the heirlooms and maintain the history.
Well, remember, they really ridiculed Jackie O for making the White House too French. Remember that?
Mm.
Yes. They were like, oh, you're trying
to. She might maybe too thematic one direction. But I think like now the White House is so boring. It's so Restoration Hardware. It's like so beige. And like, I would get rid of all that boring ass shit.
Jill Biden has been extremely quiet. I mean, we heard about
no,
more.
No, we ain't
about,
heard a peep from
what
her.
What the fuck she's up to?
We heard more about Melania's misgivings than anything Jill is done.
Yeah.
I don't think Jill's done.
Jack Jill shit, shall we say.
Like, there was one article in Parade magazine that I read about her, and it was like, Jill Biden makes her Italian-American favorites, because I always forget she is Italian, for Joe. And it's like, here's my healthy chicken parm that I make for genocide Joe.
Yeah, I doubt it.
It's like, I don't think you're cooking that up.
Okay.
Who are you?
Who are you in the book?
Oh, this is fun.
This is interesting.
I mean, you would be the way you are Lincoln writing Josh Speed, because your tattoo. It's so.
Oh.
You love your male friend.
Yes, okay. Mary McCall, Mary Matthias, like convince
I mean,
Maddie.
I mean, I wrote fan fiction about Josh Speed. So.
Yeah. So
yeah, you are
whoever you are. You're like you're Lincoln fantasizing about,
and also
Josh
you
Speed.
Are you're writing a letter like gossiping about a local, like legal case.
He would spill so much tea.
To a chica. You are spilling
a letter.
I was
like, you're writing a letter being like, don't tell anyone this. But then like
no,
writing
yeah,
that letter to like
absolutely.
Multiple people.
And it's getting published.
Steven, you are.
You think I'm Mary Todd with the stockings?
I think you are Mary Todd.
Yeah, you are Mary Todd. Not the sun and the headaches. Because like when you get sick, you're like, I'm dying.
Yeah.
And then also like. you are like randomly in.
A society girl in Springfield.
Yes.
Yes. And you're also like somehow getting Congress to give you more money in this way. Yes.
But then I'm secretly returning the jewelry and it's awkward.
You're like selling it back to Tokyo 7.
I mean, you're political, but you're charismatic.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Lily, you...
I think Lily's Josh Speed.
You're Josh Speed. You're the plug.
Yeah, I'm the plug. I'm like writing. I feel like I also would press like a maple leaf into a letter.
I feel like you could also be Ulysses S. Grant.
Yeah, I was hoping for
your
that.
Your hero. Yeah.
My hero.
Play on.
Getting my bottle of whiskey.
A little too
like,
much Knob Creek.
Yeah. Being like, whoa, this is so dope. Lincoln just sent me a bottle of Knob Creek. I'm posting about it, being like, thanks, Lincoln.
I didn't realize that Grant was so hot when he was younger.
Yeah, he was always hot. Where he didn't get unhot. He stayed hot.
Mm. That facial hair, full head of hair.
He was a modern man after my heart. Okay, I give this book, what do we get this book? I feel like I'm going to give this book maybe 3.8 assassinations out of 5. I think like some of it is super fun, but it is really long. There's so much to sift through. And I think sometimes he gets a little bit like long-winded and repetitive. And like, obviously there's some bangers, you know, A House Divided Cannot Stand, but it's like some of the like endless speeches when he's like in the Illinois State House, it's a little like, we got it.
I think Lincoln was someone that was quirky and that someone that you would enjoy talking to at a crowded dinner party.
Yes, but not seated next to
in a car.
Certainly not a car.
Yeah. No. You'd be like, I'm getting a ride with like Lincoln. No, please ride with me.
Yeah.
Like, please.
But I think he'd be fun to talk to for 9 to 11 minutes, like on the deck.
Yes.
I think that he was also, you know, one thing that no one said, but I could so read into, I think that he was passive aggressive. Because even anytime someone that historically is even tempered, it's like, no, everyone has a little something.
Yeah.
And I think that he was probably really passive aggressive.
Yeah. I feel like what's not shown is like, what was he, the passive aggressive and probably the silence sometimes he gave Mary Todd. And like, they talk about her depression, how like after the son died and like, oh, he just went right back to work. But I'm sure he was being kind of like cold and not supportive in this way.
I believe that.
That's
not supportive of her jewelry addiction. Or what do you give the book?
I give the book, I agree with you where it's like the letters are more fun than the speeches because like, speeches are boring.
Yeah.
So I'm giving him like a 3.8 for like, I'm learning so much about his quirkiness and his vulnerability.
Yeah.
So I think, I want to read more of his letters because we did read the selected, but I'm kind of good on the speeches.
What do you give it out of 5?
Out of 5, I give it probably, I give it a solid 3. Out of 5, because I think that I'm more interested in the people that are interested in Lincoln.
Yeah.
Because there seems to be a certain kind of personality that's like in the Lincoln. And like when they talk about him, they just light up.
Yeah.
Right. It's like he's in the right. So it's like he's not totally making you light up. It's like he's the central figure, people.
I wish he was a little more fun. I feel like he's so dry.
But I think, you know, it's that lack of funness that enabled him to have this, like...
Do the Gettysburg Address.
And, like, be the one person who could kind of, like, see the nation through the Civil War. Because I think other
you
people...
You can't be fun and see the nation through the Civil War.
No, other people would have been, like, they would have been too impatient. Like, they would have just been like, all right, let's, like, do this. And, like, maybe, like, you know, the war would have gone a totally different direction. I mean, I don't think the South ever could have won, but...
I think during that day and age, if men invited you to drink, everyone got wasted. And I think that Lincoln really did just have one drink and go home.
Beyonce.
And that's why everyone is just like, you are powerful.
Yeah. Right. That's the lesson. Wow.
Mickey, this has been such an incredible journey. Thank you for
joining us. This has been the highlight of my year.
You guys,
you come back?
I just feel like I feel so happy. I feel so, you know, in the spirit of compassion and togetherness.
Yes.
No, I would love to come back. You know what I feel? I'll just say this. I think it's interesting. I just think it's interesting that we never brought up John Wilkes Booth.
And you know what? And I think that that is nice of us.
Because we
were reading this text, and which is obviously he didn't write about his assassination because he was dead. And I think that
all you hear growing up is John Wilkes Booth.
It's John Wilkes Booth. John Wilkes Booth. We get it.
The shooting. It's like I saw the Ken Burns documentary.
It's just like we don't. It's like it's actually kind of rude. You know what I mean? It's just like we don't need to keep talking about this one tragedy that happened at the end.
It's like I never like. It's so much more interesting to talk about Josh Speed for an hour than.
Although I will, I'll say this. I mean, obviously, that's one of the main reasons that he's super famous. And I'm sure, even if he had, like, stayed president and maybe he would have ushered in Reconstruction, like, better than whoever else did, than, like, Johnson, it's just kind of like...
No one is more loved than JFK and Lincoln.
Because he got killed. Because they got killed. Mm.
So they become these idols.
We wouldn't be talking about it. We wouldn't be talking about Caesar if he hadn't been stabbed. It's just like, an assassination, honey, puts you in the books.
Yeah.
It's true.
Okay. Okay.
I heard you have a music video out today.
Yeah, anything we want to plug?
Oh, I mean, okay, so I do have my latest project. It's called Postcards from Italia. And then besides that...
You've basically become Italian this last year.
I've been really in Italy a lot. And I'm on season 5 of The Sopranos. No, I have nothing to plug. I'm just honestly... I came here to be with my friends.
Yes, it's not about it, yeah.
You guys don't know how long I have known, biblically long, I've known Lily and Steven.
Since the Civil War.
Yeah.
Since the Civil War. And I just want to say, I am, as their friend, I am so proud of them and so proud of this podcast. And so proud that they have people like you guys listening to them. You guys are my friends have fans.
Thank God someone to listen to their asses.
I am so proud of them.
We follow in your footsteps.
Your footsteps, yeah. Your exact career path. You trained us. Okay, well, say it with us.
Best. I have expressed heretofore, and I now repeat, my opposition to the executive production of this podcast by Christina Everett of Springfield.
77 years ago, Darby Masters decided to produce this podcast, and I said yes on that referendum.
And we should let this property abide by the decision to let the supervision of the production be ordained by Wanabu Zafar.
The Saginaw River was designed by Teddy Blanks. And the wonderful music at my wife Mary Todd's sister's wedding was done by Stephen Phillips Horst. This podcast was originally co-created in the Kennebunkport River Battle with Prologue Projects.
It was a terrible battle. There were 4 survivors and 60,000 perished.
Though we did all have a luncheon afterward with tea provided by our new workmanship with the first ever grocery store of the Union County.
And I would be remiss if I did not inhabit our memory back to the extent of which, therefore, the degree of prosperity could be pursued by one patreon.com/cbcthepod for further prospering across the great nation. May we remain united in our love for content.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.